Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John Paul II. He was a native of Wadowice in Poland, and he became Pope John Paul II in 1978. And among his many accomplishments as Pope, he made 104 apostolic journeys outside Italy and promulgated a new catechism. He is the one who inaugurated the World Youth Day and the World Meeting of Families. John Paul II died on April 2, 2005. And quoting from him, "It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is He who reads in your hearts your most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle." Youth all over the world loved him. I had the marvelous opportunity of meeting him, and I am very, very touched as I read again and again and again what he's written. And if you haven't, I really urge you not just to read about St. John Paul, but read what St. John Paul wrote. Go to the archives in the Vatican website. Go there, look them up, and start reading. Because, brothers and sisters, they're a treasure. They're an incredible treasure. One of my personal delights was his Angelus readings he did every day when he visited with people. He'd come out on the balcony and visit. But he talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One year during the Easter season, he talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Read that slowly. It's 8 different, very abbreviated homilies. Read that. It's so powerful. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. We had to learn all those. But do we know what they mean? Do we know what God wants to impart to us through St. John Paul's teaching? So I really urge you to take a look. Take the time to look. I think you're going to be mightily blessed. And if you say, "Oh, I've read all that," go back and read it again. Every time I open his writings, I get a new insight. I see something that I didn't see before. So, St. John Paul II, we thank you. We bless your name. And we ask that your Heavenly Father and your Savior give you all the reward that your people seeks for you. May God bless you. Today we read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. "Brothers and sisters, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you once lived, following the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient." He's talking about how we come under the influence of Satan. This is St. Paul now. We come under the influence of Satan when we're not clearly following the Lord, when we, as he says here, dead in our transgressions and sins. In other words, there are many of us, if we died right now, would go to hell. Not because God wouldn't be kind and merciful to us, but we condemn ourselves by not taking his word to heart, by not following him. Don't get down on yourself. Just seriously look at your situation. Do you frequent the sacrament of reconciliation? Do you frequent Mass as often as you can? Do you go to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament? There's so much the Lord wants to give us, but we say, "Oh, well, yeah, that's I don't have to do that." That's what we say. I don't have to do that. And you're right. You don't have to. But if you want to grow closer to God, if you want to desire to follow him more closely, you need what he gave us. We can't just shrug our shoulders when the God of heaven and earth gives us gifts that enable us to come to him and forgives us when we fail. What more could we ask for? St. Paul goes on to say, all of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest. In other words, Paul's saying, I too, we're all sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. We should live in the grace that comes from our good works. God never makes it impossible, but he always gives us a free choice. Psalm 100, the Lord made us, we belong to him. Do you know that? Do you realize that you belong to God? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. Think about that. First and foremost, you belong to your Heavenly Father. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." In other words, I want what's coming. He should share it. He may be the oldest, but he should share it with me. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and your arbitrator?" And then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." How much of our time, how much of our days are spent saying, "Oh, I want this, or I need this, or I've got to go get this, or I have to have this before the week is out." How many of us do that? How many of us could say that I'm in a certain way captured, I'm a slave to possessions? Are you? Ask God to set you free. That doesn't mean God set me free. It means really coming before the Lord and say, "Lord, you're the most priceless treasure." And perhaps if we believed that more, it would be easier to get rid of the possessions we don't need. He is the treasure. He is the treasure for all eternity. Don't choose the things of this world that will pass away. Choose him. Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a beautiful harvest, and he asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones." He's not thought about giving away some of it. "There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now is for you. You have so many good things stored up for many years. Eat, rest, eat, drink, be merry.'" In other words, I'm taken care of. All is well. Now I can relax. And there are people all around you starving, physically, mentally, emotionally, certainly spiritually. How much time do you spend on acquiring possessions or having possessions in comparison to how much you reach out to serve another? God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God." God isn't going to ask you what kind of car you have, what kind of house you have, what kind of bank account you have, what holdings you have. That's not what he's going to ask you. He's going to say, "How did you love me? How did you serve my people? How did you care for those in need? How did you share what you have with the poor?" That's what he's going to ask you. There is, in this feast of St. John Paul, there is a marvelous little section of what matters to God, that God wants us to be rich in what matters to him, and it's by St. John Paul. Let faith be refreshed, let hope increase, let charity exert itself still more. One sign of the mercy of God which is especially necessary today is the sign of charity, which opens our eyes to the needs of those who are poor and excluded. Such is the situation affecting vast sectors of society and casting its shadow of death upon whole peoples. The human race is facing forms of slavery which are new and more subtle than those of the past. And for too many people, freedom remains a word without meaning. Some nations, especially the poorer ones, are oppressed by a debt so huge that repayment is practically impossible. It is clear, therefore, that there can be no real progress without effective cooperation between the peoples of every language, race, nationality, and religion. The abuses of power which result in some dominating others must stop. Such abuses are sinful and unjust. Whoever is concerned to accumulate treasure only on earth is not rich in the sight of God. There is also a need to create a new culture of international solidarity and cooperation where all, particularly the wealthy nations and the private sector, accept responsibility for an economic model which serves everyone. There should be no more postponement of the time when the poor Lazarus can sit beside the rich man to share the same banquet and be forced no more to feed on the scraps that fall from the table. I could weep over that, but it's what we do. St. John Paul says, extreme poverty is a source of violence, bitterness, and scandal. To eradicate it is to do the work of justice, and therefore the work of peace. St. John Paul, we ask that you would pray for us, that you would pray for each of us. We ask that you would pray for your church on earth and the great difficulties and crises in which it finds itself. We can trace every sin back to putting ourselves first, can't we? How easy it is to think of me first, and then maybe I might do a charitable work here or there. If we're true Christians, we need to reverse that. That's what John Paul asked us again and again and again during his long reign as our Holy Father. May we heed his words. May we do what he asks. May we follow him with all our heart. And the poor will be served. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.